that song reminds us of the dependency that we have on our Father in heaven. And, you know, as we've been making our way through the book of Philippians, we see Paul, anytime we talk about Paul, we see the dependency that he has on the Lord, and he understands that that is where his strength comes from. He understands that that is what pushes him through all of this. Last week, I want to recap just a little bit about what we shared with Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. It just gives you a glimpse as to where we're heading this morning. Verses 4, 4 through 8 say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." That's Paul writing. I want to remind you where Paul is. It's some debate as to what imprisonment this is, which is kind of funny when you're talking about a guy that you just can't really nail down which time this was that he was arrested. Okay? And not in a bad way. He was arrested many times because he was speaking the gospel truth. And people didn't like that. So he got arrested, and he was on house arrest. And in this particular case, we believe, and the strong evidence shows, that he is in Rome. Chances are he is chained to a Roman soldier on house arrest. So he has some free liberties, but he is still imprisoned. He doesn't get to do everything he wants to do, even though he has some freedoms. And I want to remind you again that from Paul's point of view, he is in prison, he is chained, and he is writing to the church, telling them to rejoice, telling them to have a gentle spirit, to be anxious for nothing, which Paul, to speak that, is saying that not knowing when his time is going to be called, be up, or his card is going to be drawn, and it was going to be the end for Paul. And here's the guy who is essentially on death row saying, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then he continues on in the last verse there to say, focus on these things. Focus on these things. This coming from a prisoner for the Lord, Paul is content. Paul is content in the Lord. Paul is in prison, chained to a Roman guard, not sure what all that looked like, the accommodations were, but it probably was not ideal. It was good, it was okay, but it wasn't probably what Paul wanted. But this is where God had him, and so Paul stays joyful through this whole thing. Paul is content in the Lord. That's what I want to focus on this morning. Being content in the Lord. Because in this world, we're constantly pushed to get the bigger, the better, the best, you know, the latest, the newest, the greatest, whatever it might be. And we're always pushed to do the next step, or go the next mile, or do this or do that. And what I'm speaking of there is not in our Christian faith. I'm talking about in the world. That we're constantly pushed to get the better, the bigger thing, and the newest thing, and all this other stuff. And so sometimes we're never content in the Lord. We always want to go and to do something else or to have something more. We're not content with our situation. We're not content with the way that our families are or whatever it might be. We always want more. And I want you to understand me here whenever I say this. I'm not telling you to be content and never do anything for the Lord. What I'm telling you is the things of the world that try to push you further and further and further to follow them and to be like them, don't go that way. But when Paul's situation, who is in prison, who is not having a very good time, okay, even though he is joyful and he's saying rejoice and all these things, he is still chained to a Roman guard. He is saying, listen, folks, I am content with where God has me. I am content content because I know that the Lord is providing for me. That doesn't mean that Paul is not praying and hoping that God will move him out of that situation, but what he is saying here is the Lord is enough. No matter what my situation, no matter how bad it is, how good it is, I am content with the Lord because he provides the things that I need to survive. He provides the things that I need to continue on, to preach the word, and to bless other people. Our passage this morning is found in Philippians 4, 10 through 13, and it's a passage that is many times, in verse 13, many times widely misconstrued as to how it was written. We'll get to that in a moment, but in 10 it says this, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me." Now he is writing again to the church of Philippi. These guys have been with him since his first missionary trip. They have given him money. They have provided for him. Epaphroditus, remember the guy that went over to encourage him while he was in prison and almost died? They provided him. They sent a love offering with Epaphroditus. So he is writing this to them. And he says, "At last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." It means they wanted to help, but they just couldn't at the moment. Verse 11 says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Do you understand? You hear what Paul is saying there. He is telling the church, he says, "Listen, thank you for being a friend." Okay, this isn't Golden Girls, but thank you for being a friend. Okay, thank you for being there with me. Thank you for supporting me, for financially sending a love offering. Thank you for sending Epaphroditus and doing all those things. And I want to encourage you to continue on doing those things. I want you to continue to encourage those of us. He also goes on to say, he says, "Listen," he says, "I want to thank you, but not because I speak from want." So this isn't a letter writing to you saying, "Thanks for the money, can you send some more?" That's not what he's saying here, and he wants to make that perfectly clear. He says, "Listen, not that I speak from what I want, for I have learned to be content with whatever circumstance I am in. I know how to get along in humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." Paul says, "Listen, God has blessed me, and he has put me in the nicest of places, and I've had everything that I've needed. And then there's times where God has called me out to places where it has been famine, where I've just gotten what I need to survive. But I have learned the secret of making it through those situations. I have learned how to proceed through those times, those difficult times. I've learned the secret." He gives it to us in verse 13. He says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Have you heard that passage before? Chances are you saw it. I had a football necklace. It said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You see it labeled on these different t-shirts and things. And I gotta be honest with you, I played football for 2 years in high school. The reason I only played for 2 years is because I was terrible. Okay? I did not have the drive to play it. And let me be honest with you, it didn't shake my faith that I had a necklace that had a football on it that said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," because I can tell you, when you go up against a linebacker, it doesn't always work that way. Okay? You can say it all you want, but that is not why Paul wrote it. Paul wrote it because he is saying, "Listen, I have been in abundance and I have been in famine, and I understand that the secret to making it through all of those situations, whether it be in feast or famine, is the fact that I find my strength in the Lord. I don't trust myself, but I trust him because he is going to provide
for me the things that I need. My strength comes from Him. And folks, today, that passage is pulled out of context and placed on t-shirts and placed on jewelry, and people think, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it doesn't mean that if you go and run and jump off a building, that you're not going to break every bone in your body. You have to understand the context in which Paul writes. Paul says, listen, I have seen it, I have been feast, I have been famine, and I promise you that through all of that, God gets the glory because Jesus provides the entire way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we're dealing with spiritual warfare, when we're dealing with spiritual matters, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that mean that God doesn't provide in the physical way? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what is Paul saying, writing here? Understand the context in which he writes to the Philippians, telling them that God has provided for him in the good times and in the bad times. You know, I've never known, and I found this out the other day, my father-in-law, apparently, he was poor, okay? And the other day we were cleaning out the cabin, and we were throwing away stuff that was outdated. And he wasn't around. And so we were tossing this stuff out. And he walks in and he sees this trash bag full of stuff. And he picks it up and he sets it on the table. And he starts going, he said, why'd you throw this one? Why is it the date's bad? He sets that aside. He pulls another one out, sets that aside. And I said, what are you doing? He said, listen. And I agree. I've never been in that situation before. He says, until you understand what it's like to go hungry, you understand that these dates don't mean a thing. He said, I have been hungry. I have been poor, you know, where I had to eat, you know, whatever the date was, I had to pull it. And I've never had to experience that. I've never been in that situation. And so I think of that in this, that Paul has seen both feast and famine. And he understands that through all of that, whether he was hungry, wishing for some bread or whatever it might be, that God was going to provide for him through that entire situation. All the times that Paul had been in and out of prison, God provided for him. And he is calling, he is writing the church of Philippi, and he's saying, listen, God has provided for me, and he has used you to do that. I want to thank you, church of Philippi, Philippians, for the prayer and the support that you have given to me in my suffering, and through all my afflictions that I have faced. Verse 14, he says, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. This is a missionary's letter thanking his supporting church. He's saying, listen, church, I appreciate everything that you have done for me. And I appreciate the fact that God called you to serve, and you've done it. And you've done it faithfully. And when I say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is because I know that God is preparing people to do the work of the Father. He is preparing people to step up and to step out to help those missionaries in need, to help us in our need. God prepares the hearts of people to go and to help and to serve. Verse 15, he continues on. He says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. I have received everything in full and have an abundance, and I am amply supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you see the relationship here? You see the fact that God had called, Earlier, Paul had gone through in his missionary journeys, he planted a church there in Philippians, and that church grew, and that church continued to support him on his mission to go out to serve and to share the love of God. And they continued to faithfully serve him in those times and delivering him those gifts that he needed to continue to do the work of the Father. Paul understood that he could do all things through Christ because Christ was preparing the hearts of other people to share and to give and to do what they need to do to help these missionaries continue on. Folks, I want to tell you that today we have that very same opportunity. We have missionaries in the field. And we take up offerings at Christmas and Easter, and we just got done through the Missouri Missions offering, which, by the way, thank you for giving, because we exceeded our goal, and we were up in the $800 range. Thank you for doing that. Because when we give and when we listen to what God tells us and when we listen to the calling of the Father in our lives, we give because we want to bless the ministry of others. And that's exactly what the Philippians did. They were following what God called them to do, and they gave, and they did what they could do by sending Epaphroditus to Paul to build him up, to lift him up, and encourage him in the gospel journey. Because Paul faces a lot of treachery along the way. And so he writes to the church in Philippi, and he says, listen, thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for giving. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for providing in those tough times. Folks, I want to remind us that God will give us the resources and the ability to help. And he will call us to donate. He'll call us to give. And we need to listen to God, what he calls us to do. We want to be a giving church. We want to be a church that blesses others. We want to be like the church in Philippi that supports our missionaries, that supports others out in the field that are doing the work in the ditches. Not to say that you guys go and work and we'll just support you, because it's our job too to be missionaries here. And God might be calling you to go somewhere else. But we must be a giving church. And we must remember what Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. He says this. Jesus says this in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Folks, I just want to read that passage in order to remind you that what Jesus is telling his disciples, not to store up things here on this earth. Because sometimes, I get it, I like to collect stuff, okay? And I like to, I have part hoarder in my blood, okay? And we want to accumulate all this wealth, and we want to accumulate all this stuff. And we want to take it, we want to push it into our store barns. That's my treasures. But then when God calls us to a mission, when God calls us to do a work in giving and sharing and blessing others that are in the mission field and blessing the things of the church, we say, well, I can't because I got this over here. This is all mine, Lord. God calls us to give, to be cheerful givers, to not store up things here on this earth, not to store up treasures on this earth, but to store up treasures in places where thieves and moths and rust cannot destroy. You see, when we help and when we share, we do like the Church of Philippi does, and we bless these missionaries and we participate in these goals and we give when God calls us to give, we're storing up treasures in heaven and not here on this earth. Because I can promise you, all those things that we put away and we store away will one day be picked through and sold. And so I want to encourage you to think about and ask God, what am I supposed to be doing? Lord, I want you to be in charge of my life, and I also want you to be in charge of my pocketbook. I want you to tell me how to spend my money. I want you to show me, Lord, what it is that I need to be blessing others. The church of Philippi understood it. The church of Philippi understood it because at one time there was not a church in Philippi. And Paul came and started that church, and because of Paul's efforts and works, and because of the Lord being there and blessing that situation, the church of Philippi started. And that church would go on to support a missionary that would continue to go and share the gospel in other places. I want you to listen to the call. I want you to understand what God is telling you. I want you to hear what he tells his disciples. I want you to hear how a missionary and a church get along and how they're to support that missionary. I'm not trying to get your pocketbooks. I just want us to be a cheerful, giving church. We answer the call when God comes a call. We step up to the challenge. And listen, since I have been here before I got here, this church has always been super giving. I think as soon as I got here, we got a reward from the MMO offering because you guys have given so much. I want to continue that. I want us to continue to ask God how we can help. And what I don't want in our lives, I don't want us to say, Lord, this is all yours, but not this. And not this. Paul gave everything. Paul followed the Lord even when it winded him up in prison and it winded him up chained to a Roman guard. He followed the Lord and he rejoiced. He rejoiced every moment of it. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Paul was joyful, doing the work of the Father. And he says, listen, I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to live in feast times. But no matter what situation I'm in, it's the strength of the Lord that pulls me through. He is the one that blesses me. He is the one that encourages me, gives me the strength. Folks, that's what I want for us this morning. Us to look into our lives. Think about, first off, what God has done in our lives. Think about how God has blessed us, how God has given us his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, paid the price, paid the ultimate price, so that we can have eternal life. Calls us to accept him into our hearts and our lives and to get saved. To get saved, what we mean by that is getting saved from sin, saved from hell. And when we get saved, we let the Lord have control of our life. When we get saved, we accept Jesus into our heart and life. The Holy Spirit begins to be in our lives. We are suddenly filled with the Spirit. And when the Spirit begins to move in our lives, when we cultivate that relationship, the Spirit begins to tell us and show us what needs to go and the things that need to be open to the Lord. And we need to listen to him and follow his commands and what he is calling us to do. Led by the Spirit. God paid the ultimate price for sending his son to die. We have that opportunity to live for him. And the Holy Spirit convicts us and changes us, and we need to be on fire for him. We need to be living for him each and every day. That means in our giving. That means in going out and telling others. I mean, there's a whole, it's not just one piece. It's not just giving. It's not just sharing your faith. It's not just discipling others. It's the whole gamut. It's one package. This is who we are. It's called being a follower of Jesus Christ. Nothing is off limits to him. We see that in Paul's life. Paul was willing to go and give up everything to reach others for Christ. And folks, this morning I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to do the same. Say, Lord, you have blessed me, and when we take a moment, we think about the blessings that God gives us. We can continue to say, Lord, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for this, and that's the heart that we need to have. And when we have that mindset and that heart, we begin to ask God, what's next? What's next? And so that's what I want to leave you with this morning. I want you to remember the words of Paul when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the good times, the bad times, the Lord is there. He gives me my strength. Spiritual warfare. And then I want you to ask the Lord, what's next? How can I serve you? What's next? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We thank you, Father, for these words that Paul spoke this morning. We thank you for this beautiful picture of missionary and sending church, Father. The encouragement that comes between both of them, Lord, as the church Philippi sends and gives, and as Paul receives and then writes back and gives blessings and testimony of what God is doing in his life. Father, help us to continue to be a church that gives and continue to be a church that loves our missionaries and loves the missions that are going on around us, Father. Help us to be a church that participates in those missions, Father. Help us be a church that just loves and just continues to love others, Father, and that it shows because we love Christ, Father, and that just oozes out of us. Lord, I pray that we would just follow you each and every day. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to speak to our people, Lord, and just continue to convict us of the things that we need to change and how we need to grow and how we need to mold ourselves to be more like you, Father. God, we thank you so much for giving us a second chance and giving us the opportunity to live for you here on this earth. Lord, the time we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give, we thank you, Father. Lord, we just ask that you would begin to move in our lives this morning. Father, as we ask the question, what's next? Give us a very clear answer. And we begin to move forward. We love you, Lord. May I ask this all in your name. We're going to stand and sing. I'll be here in the front. If you want to talk, if you want to pray, give you the opportunity to respond this morning. But just let God begin to work in your life and ask God, Lord, what is next in my life? Let's stand and sing.